Good afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again as we are each Sunday at noon with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars, you can see who the show's sponsors are, and visit all of their websites. And you can see what legislation we're demanding from our elected officials and which elected officials are in your corner and which are not. And we're actually going to talk a little bit about some ridiculous legislation that have been filed in the legislature the last few weeks. You can also automatically link to our Facebook page and join in on our discussions about the show or start your own discussion board and get feedback from everybody else.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you would like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 954-983-1112. Again, that's 954-983-1112. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And finally, thank you to so many of you for supporting Camp2012.net and for throwing your support behind our six legislative proposals. To find out more about how you can get involved and demand long overdue changes to both the condo and HOA statutes, again, visit www.camp2012.net.
All right, and before we get to all the phone calls that we have, oh my goodness, it's going to be a busy day.
Yes.
Well, last show we spoke about shadow inventory and how there will be three times the normal amount of unsold inventory on the market, how not even New Yorkers are moving to South Florida any longer, how people removed from their home by a foreclosure actually oftentimes wind up living better than they were before. And we spoke about an eight-year-long court battle between a Miami condo and its unit owner over a waste paper basket.
Yeah, it turned into 8 years because that unit owner was
a lawyer.
Big mistake, condo. All right, and we also spoke about whether or not people who defaulted on their mortgages should get the benefit of reductions in their interest rate as opposed to people who always remain current on their mortgages, and if by doing so are actually rewarding bad behavior and penalizing good behavior. Well, I'm not saying that President Obama listens to our show, but
yes, he does.
But soon after our last show, the rules of the game were, in fact, changed to help the people of this country that have been good and that have been paying their mortgages. And for those of you out there who have made your mortgage payments timely, you're definitely going to want to listen to this. The Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP program, that's a federal program that started in 2009, and it lets homeowners refinance their mortgages at lower rates. But few people actually signed up because many underwater borrowers couldn't actually qualify for the program. And remember, roughly 22.5% of U.S. homeowners, or about 11 million of us, are actually, in fact, underwater. So, unfortunately, nobody really benefited from this program until now.
Yeah, here's a little bit more about what it used to be like. Participation was limited to those whose home values were no more than 25% below what they owed their lender. That excluded roughly 10% of borrowers because, as we know, in some hard-hit areas, borrowers have lost nearly 50% of their home values. Heck, I know where it's more than that.
Yeah. And the good news is that now a homeowner's eligibility won't be affected by how far their home's value has fallen, and some fees for closing, title insurance, loans and lien processing will be eliminated, so refinancing will be cheaper. The number of homeowners who need an appraisal will be reduced, saving more money, and some fees for those who refinance into a shorter-term mortgage will also be waived.
Yeah, really, so far, so good. And to qualify for refinancing, a loan must have been sold to Fannie and Freddie before June 2009. Most of our loans are. Homeowners can determine whether their mortgage is owned by Fannie or Freddie. You can go online, and again, good time to grab a pen or a pencil. You can check again if your home is actually owned by Fannie and Freddie. Freddie's website is freddiemac.com/mymortgage, and Fannie Mae is fanniemae.com/loanlookup. Mortgages that were refinanced over the last 2.5 years are not eligible. But homeowners also must be current on their mortgage. One late payment within the last 6 months or more than one in the last year would mean disqualification.
Yeah, I guess the real question, boss, is who will benefit most from these new regulations? And I guess obviously it'll be underwater homeowners in the hard-hit states of Arizona, California, here in Florida, and Nevada. They're not having a good housing market right now,
terrible.
Either, are they?
Yeah. No, terrible.
Those states are probably the places where people are going to be greatly helped, because many are stuck with high mortgage rates and they were approved for mortgages with little or no money down. And the average annual savings of a U.S. household, according to the reports that came out, would be about $2,500.
Yeah.
Well, and Fannie and Freddie will issue the full details of the plan on November 15th. Officials say the revamped mortgage could be in place for some lenders as early as December 1st.
Yeah, I know. I've spoken to SunTrust. SunTrust tells me they will have the details available about this plan on November 15th. So everybody should start gearing up for it. Again, obviously, here's a plan that makes sense. It rewards the people that have been good. It gives them a wonderful present heading into the holiday season. And I think millions of people around the country may, in fact, wind up taking advantage of it. The phones are actually exploding.
Yeah.
How about we go to Catherine in Lake Worth? How are you, Catherine?
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm fine. My question is, if you're voting on a change to your documents, shouldn't the limited proxy show exactly what the change would appear in the documents with the strike through and underline affecting what is deleted and what is added?
It doesn't actually have to say that on the proxy form. When the proposed amendment is mailed to you, you have to be shown... again, like you said, words that are to be added to your declaration or whatever document you're amending are to be underlined. Words that are be deleted should be stricken through, as long as it's provided to you so you know what you're voting on. But actually, on the proxy form, it does not need to have the cross out and the underlined language on the form itself.
Which means they could show you what you think it's going to be in a different location and limited proxy, and they could substitute before they...
No. Let's say, for example, that your condominium wants to vote to now allow dogs. So there's a change to your amendment that underlines the following sentence. Dogs will now be allowed in the condominium, right? So they can mail that out to you on one sheet of paper showing what it's going to be like, and they can show you that the sentence dogs will be allowed in your condominium is in fact now going to be underlined. However, they send you a separate document called the proxy. Question one on the proxy can be something like, do you think the Declaration of Condominium should be amended as provided herein to allow for dogs, period? And that's good enough. That makes the proxy form legit. Okay.
But they have to have some kind of wording on what the change actually is.
Absolutely. They just got to show that to you, included in the mailing. Okay?
Catherine, okay,
lots of phone calls today, so we're going to move on. We got to grab...
Okay.
You got it.
All right.
How about Linda in Lake Worth? Linda, you there?
Yes.
How are you, Linda?
Yes, I am.
How are you, Linda?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Okay. How can we help you?
Well, here's my question. There was recently an informal board meeting. In other words, I don't know.
Hmm.
But one board member physically attacked another.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Does that board member get thrown off the board. I've been reading 718. I can't find anything.
We teach this at the seminar all the time. The only way you can
Let's post your seminar, by the way, and I loved it.
Thank
but
you.
But that question might come up.
Thank you so much. Believe it or not, Scott, this is funny. Actually, beating up another board member, and even getting arrested for beating up another board member, would not have you removed from the board. Unless it's a felony involving theft or embezzlement of association funds. So board members, you know, feel free to beat up your fellow board member with immunity.
But if they're convicted of the felony.
No, they still, it's not a felony regarding theft or embezzlement. So you can't
it's
be.
Specifically a felony.
Right.
No.
Oh, if they get actually.
Convicted.
Right. Scott's right. If you get actually convicted of a felony, yes,
any
then you would be removed.
But, you know, respectfully, Linda, you know, if somebody, this is something that should not be tolerated, despite the fact that we're making kind of light of it, of how rigorous it would be to throw off this person from the board. If, you know, other board members are fearing for their safety, not only can they, you know, go to their local police and the courts to get a restraining order prevent this person from, you know, coming to meetings sometimes, but you could possibly look to see if you can expel him from the condominium if he's a danger to the welfare of people
Absolutely.
That live there.
Scott is a pro at that, having gotten lots of people kicked out of their homes. But yeah, that's something that actually should not be tolerated. We were joking about it, but certainly, you know, once a board member puts their hands on another board member, time to get the police involved.
Is that the same as danger and nuisance?
Well, it's even worse than a nuisance.
They were involved, but I don't know. At the time, I understand she screamed out she resigned. So was a verbal resignation acceptable?
Is a verbal resignation acceptable? I think a verbal resignation is acceptable.
Especially if it's included in the minutes.
In the moment?
Yeah, especially, again, like Scott says, if that's included in the minutes, the person was there and actually put it on the record that they're resigning. Yeah,
that's
I think
the
that's
point.
Good.
There were no minutes. They do not take minutes at these meetings.
Was there a quorum of unit owners in attendance, a quorum of board members in attendance at that meeting?
Yes.
And I think it's over. I think that person's resigned. Okay, that's how
I
look at it.
The board president claims he did not hear it.
Oh,
well.
So it's not official.
Well, certainly if you don't have another person that's willing to take the place, you might want the person to stay. But again, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if a person announces at a board meeting that they're resigning, it's over. They're done. All right, got to move on though, Linda.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. All right. You know, Linda was kind enough to actually say some nice things about the Condo Craze Board certification class. And as of October 31st, Glazer & Associates is proud to say, again, we're going to have that new office in beautiful Baldwin Park in Orlando, Florida. And for those of you who actually haven't seen Baldwin Park, go take a look at it. That place is absolutely stunning. And we really look forward to representing associations and owners in that area. And not just that, but we're going to be bringing the Condo Craze Board certification course to the Orlando area on December 3rd at 1 o'clock at the Hard Rock Hotel in Orlando, right next to Universal Studios. Again, that's December 3rd at 1 o'clock. And anyone interested in attending the Orlando seminar just has to register online at condocrazeandhoas.com. I can tell everybody also that for the Orlando seminar, we kind of modified the material slightly to also teach a lot of HOA law because of the fact that there's more HOAs, again, in that neck of the woods than there are condos. So HOA members, feel free to attend, and I promise you will learn a lot.
You know, and as we said last week, one of our Camp 2012 proposals regarding HOAs is already on its way to becoming law. And that is a required certification of HOA board members. So it's not just condo board members now. So even though it's not law yet, you might want to jump on it.
Right, exactly. And our next Hollywood, Florida Condo Craze Board certification course is coming up quickly, very quickly, November 10th at 7 o'clock. That's about a week and a half away. And you can register for that seminar, too, by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com. And these seminars really sell out fast. And by the way, occasionally we actually teach the Condo Craze Board certification course at the condominium instead of the condominium coming to us. And this week we were proud to bring the course to Meadows on the Green Condominium in Boynton Beach and Environ Condominium in Inverary. And I won't say which one, but after one of the seminars, one of the board members actually comes up to me and says, thank you, Mr. Glazer. The seminar was great. I learned a lot. I really had a great time. And then he says he really has a good idea and a great tip for me. and he says that I should listen to this great Condo Law radio show that airs every Sunday at noon on 850 WFTL called Condo Craze and HOAs. I promise I'm not making this up. In fact, he says it's so good that sometimes he pulls the car over when he's driving in order to write down some of the information. So their manager actually overhears what he's telling me, and she says to him, you know, are you serious? Who the hell do you think this is? And, you know, that's the guy that does the show. Yeah, it's really, really something. Guy was kind of embarrassed.
I hope this Yahoo isn't the president over there.
Yeah, right.
Or the vice president, secretary, or treasurer.
Yeah, well, maybe he was unable to recognize my voice, but
it's
he demands some credit. Yeah, he can certainly recognize a good radio show when he hears one.
You sound so much larger on the radio than you are in real life.
Let's take our first break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the case of the exploding mailbox. One HOA who towed the babysitter's car while he was watching the kids during an emergency while mom was out giving birth. The fact that timeshare owners seem to have more complaints than condo and HOA owners combined. And how it looks like the end of the road for mediation between the banks and delinquent owners. And, of course, we'll take your calls about anything else you want to talk about in the wonderful community association world. Give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, PA. We are taking your phone calls on this overcast day at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Had a lot of calls so far.
Yeah, how about we go to Mr. Levy from Boynton Beach?
Yeah, hi, Eric. How are you today?
How are you?
Fine, thank you, my friend. Brief question. I was at a budget meeting the other day, and the fact that our community voted that the HOA cannot spend over $5,000 without a vote, they decided to spend $25,000 on new pool furniture and made it a line budget item.
Okay. Let me ask you: Was the furniture absolutely in need of replacement?
No.
Okay. Because generally, if it was, I would tell you the board has an obligation to replace that furniture, and they have an obligation to upkeep the place and make it look pretty. So,
okay.
You know, let me ask you: where was the documents amended? What document specifically was amended to prevent the association board from spending more than $5,000 on any one item?
That's a good question.
Typically you'll find that in something like, there'll be a cap on capital improvements.
Right.
But I would say replacing, you know, let's assume for the sake of this discussion, let's assume that the pool furniture was broken. I don't think replacing pool furniture is considered a capital improvement. That's more like making a repair. So I wouldn't have a problem if the association went out and exceeded the $5,000 limit and bought new pool furniture. You feel the same way there, Mr. Shapiro?
I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, I mean, they're required, actually, again, to put those chairs out and make it look good. So
it's all relatively new, but I don't know, you know, what category it falls under.
Yeah, well, I need to take a look at actually your documents and see how it said. Mm-hmm. Give us a call at the law office, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. We can review your documents together, and we can actually figure out what they say. How about that?
That would be absolutely wonderful, and I appreciate your information.
You got it.
Thanks
for calling. Thanks. All right, taking your calls at 877-850-8585 again, 877-850-8585. And before we take more calls, how about this? Did you hear the one about the exploding mailbox in Seminole County, Florida? The Homeowners Association sent out a demand letter to every homeowner in the community that didn't have a brick mailbox, and they ordered them to change their mailbox to a brick mailbox if they didn't have one. Well, I guess that actually ticked off one of the homeowners. So a day or two after these demand letters went out, the president goes to get his mail, and when he gets there, he learned that somebody had actually blown up his brick mailbox.
Well, sounds like an explosive situation.
Yeah, right.
You know, you think that the association should be worrying about other things that are more important than requiring everyone to have a brick mailbox. People are losing their jobs, going broke, tensions are high, and some HOA president is demanding that you change your mailbox in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the association is going to send out like a new letter now requiring like hand grenade resistant mailboxes, because I actually saw a picture of this thing. And I can tell you, it was blown to smithereens, yeah. So, all right, how about a feel-good story for a change? And afterwards, I'd like everybody to think about whether their condo or HOA board would have acted the same way that this board did in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here's what's happened. A homeowner went into labor, and her husband drove her to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, they called a friend to please immediately come over and babysit their small children. Well, of course, the friends come over and promptly get their car towed for parking at the HOA overnight without a permit.
Oh, oh no.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, in order to get their car back, they had to pay the towing company $232.
Well, originally, the president of the association said this about the father. He's quoted as saying, "I'm assuming he knew the delivery time was due, that he'd have to have a babysitter come over. He should have given them a parking permit. We have signs on every entrance. Parking is by permit only. The dad is a former board member, and he should have known the rules." This guy then promised to look into the matter to see if there was any extenuating circumstances that would allow the association to waive this towing fee. But he also said, "I can't see there being any."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on.
But the board caved into the power of the press, and the writer of the article received an email where the board apologized to the new mom and dad, reimbursed the $232, and interestingly enough, the writer of the article concludes the article by saying that he credits the president for the change of heart and that some HOAs would stand firm.
Unbelievable.
Can I say a little something here?
Got about 10 seconds.
All right. Listen, everybody, we obviously advocate enforcing your rules and everything, but just use common sense sometimes.
You would think. But imagine the president to say that the husband should have known when his wife was about to go into labor and given the babysitter a pass in advance. Anyway, what do you think your board would have done in that circumstances? Would they have towed the car? Or would they have given the money back? Would they have kept a newborn child?
Ah!
Let us know your thoughts. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
And HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA. And we are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. I'm going to go to Joe in Jupiter on the line. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
How are you, Joe? How can we help you?
Good. Listen, I noticed on your website you referred to a law where before an association can bring you to court, you have to mediate?
That's in an HOA. And certain HOA disputes actually require mediation. That's correct.
Okay. Well, what is the statute? I belong to an HOA, and they haven't conformed to this at all.
720.311 requires certain disputes to go to mediation rather than a court of law. As a matter of fact, if you look at one of our 2012 proposals, what we'd like to see, we think it's such a good idea in the HOA setting that we would like to see it done in the condo setting. See, condos, you can either go right to court on some disputes, or you are forced to go to arbitration. Either way, it could be very expensive. So here's what the HOA statute says.
As an owner, I'm not at disadvantage because they have the assets of the corporation to pay for the lawyer, and you're stuck paying it for yourself.
That's exactly right. Oftentimes, of course, associations can afford to go to court or arbitration, and the unit owners can't. Now, to get back to your question, the statute says that disputes between an association and a parcel owner regarding use of or changes to the parcel or the common areas and other covenant enforcement disputes, disputes regarding amendments to the association documents, disputes regarding meetings of the board and committees appointed by the board, membership meetings, not including election meetings, and access to official records of the association, shall be subject of a demand for pre-suit mediation. Okay? And basically, there's a form in that statute that you can get off our website, I believe. Basically, you have to fill out the names of a couple of mediators, what their rates are, and serve it on the other party demanding mediation. Again, we think it's a great idea.
Now, if you ended up in front of a small claims judge, they should have pushed for the mediation prior to setting up a hearing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, actually, oftentimes judges will do just that. They're going to refer you to mediation anyway. But if any of these types of cases originally get filed in front of a judge should probably dismiss the case because the statute says you have to go to mediation first.
Right.
Okay?
All right, that was 720.3111.
Yes. Okay?
Okay, thank you
All
very
right,
much.
All right, Joe, you got it. How about on that note we go to Ken from Lake Worth?
Hi, Ken.
Hello.
How are you, Ken?
Good. I had a quick question. I'm in a condo association. If a board member resigns, what's the procedure to replace them?
Generally, when there's a board member who resigns, the remaining directors get to fill the vacancy. That's it. The remaining directors get to fill that spot, if that's what you're asking.
What do you mean? Okay, there's seven on the board, one resigns.
Right. Now the six can choose amongst themselves who they'd like to have on the board.
Oh, I see. That's simple?
Yep. Okay. Simple enough. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
Bye.
All right. Taking your calls again, 877-850-8585. The Miami Herald reported last week that despite the fact that Florida is struggling with Medicare fraud, foreclosures, robo-signing, and prescription drug pill mills, the Attorney General's top legislative priority is actually to clean up, believe it or not, timeshare resale fraud.
Hmm. Yeah, well, why not? I mean, a day goes by where I don't hear people complaining about that. You know, basically, there are companies out there who, for a fee, promise to find you a buyer for your timeshare. They make you pay the fee up front and then simply disappear and never find you the buyer they promised.
And the Attorney General says that timeshare resale fraud is by far the top consumer complaint her office has received in the past 2 years. And with 19,000 complaints since 2009, timeshare resale fraud outnumbers the next four categories combined.
Yeah, you think it's hard to believe that there's more complaints in timeshares than condos and HOAs combined, but that seems to be what's going on here. And I'm not saying that the timeshares issue isn't a problem, but it seems to me that the robo-signing situation kind of dwarfs it. And I'm sorry, but I think the Attorney General should be real concerned that tens of thousands of false affidavits were apparently filed in our court system, and and that conduct is obviously killing everybody in the entire state, and not just people who own timeshares. So respectfully, I'd like to think that the priorities here are slightly out of whack.
Yeah, I also seem to remember you telling me many times that you never actually trusted the timeshare system because it was always caught up in a fraudulent scheme of some kind.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. I can tell you, or I can't tell you actually, how many times I heard stories from people who own timeshares down here and live up north, and they wind up putting their units up for rent each night with the company that kind of like operates the front desk, hoping that the company is going to rent out their unit and get the owner some rental income. And for one reason or another, the front desk never seems to rent their room. They just constantly have problems renting their room. But somehow the unit keeps getting dirty, and someone picks up the phone when you call the unit. Go figure.
And if the front desk engages in this conduct, I guess there's almost no way of getting caught.
Yeah, very, very difficult to catch, Karen, especially when the front desk rents out rooms at a lesser amount if paid in cash. Mm. I've seen that happen a bunch of times, too. And on that note, how about we go to Joe in Boynton Beach?
Hi, Joe.
Hello?
How are you, Joe?
Good. I have a question regarding my HOA. I have a window that I installed on a zero which the association is claiming is a zero lot line wall. It's on the zero lot line side of the house, but there's property that I own from where I installed the window to the zero lot line. And there's also another house, same exact house as mine, in the association that already has it.
So you're saying the window that you installed basically is on the zero lot line? It doesn't face front?
It does, yes. It faces the zero lot line.
Okay. So in other words, nobody could see it basically is when you're staring in front of it?
Nope, no one can see it unless you're standing in front of it. And there is also a house where it also, same exact house as mine, same exact window, same exact location.
Right. And did you file the appropriate architectural modification forms that you probably required to file first?
No, I did not. However, I did get a permit pulled. I didn't get the proper form from the association.
Right. And
like architectural request.
Is your association saying that it violates your declaration of covenants to have that window installed?
They are.
Okay. Now, this is actually an interesting phone call because a lot of times people think that just because the county or your local municipality allows you to do something and will actually grant you a permit for it, it means that necessarily you can do that in your home. It does not. There's a big difference between what the county might allow and between what your governing documents may allow. So, again, I'd have to take a look at your governing documents to see if putting in that window violates the governing documents of your community, regardless of the fact that the county will actually give you a permit for it, okay?
What, he'd have to remove the window?
He might have to remove the window, seal it up. What'd you do? Did you knock out the concrete block and put in a window?
It's actually a wood frame. It's a wood frame house.
Right. Okay. But you installed the window.
Yeah.
So now your house looks a little different than everybody else's because of this window?
Well, his neighbor has one.
No, there is a house, like I said, that is the same exact house as mine that has the window,
okay.
And the association is claiming that they can't go after them because they only have 5 years to go after them, and I'm saying that establishes precedent.
So, yeah, that might be considered selective enforcement. We'd have to know a little bit more. Again, call that's a different story. Call us in the office tomorrow, 954-983-1112. Take some pictures of your neighbor's house, by the way, and, again, maybe we can be able to help you with that.
Interesting, Joe.
Okay. Take pictures. Absolutely take pictures. All right. You got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on again. Taking your calls. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. The phones are ringing today. All right. We spoke on the show many times about the failure of the mediation program that the Florida Supreme Court mandated in all the foreclosure cases around the state, because the banks simply refused to reduce their demand at mediation to do anything other than force the unit owner to pay everything they owe or get kicked out of their home.
Well, sure enough, a judicial committee made up of five judges and a court administrator concluded the other day that the Florida Supreme Court should end its mediation program.
What?
Yeah, it was in the papers. The panel now basically recommends that instead of being mandatory, where a judge decided if a case should go to mediation on a case-by-case basis, which is, kind of how every court case
now,
is.
Yeah, exactly
if,
right.
If the banks want everything that, what's the point of any judge referring a case to mediation, why continue this charade at all?
Yeah, I agree, Karen. And in my opinion, there is no point. As our listeners know, I've been a licensed circuit court mediator for about 5 years now, and I've mediated many, many condo and HOAs disputes. And I always say this to the parties, that at the end of today's mediation, I hope actually both of you walk out with a settlement, but that each of you kind of feel a little miserable, because then I kind of know that a fair result was achieved. But it seems like the banks simply refuse to walk out feeling even the slightest bit miserable, and they want it all.
Well, maybe in light of the fourth DCA case we spoke about over the last few weeks, that now makes it, very difficult for a bank to get a summary judgment. Just maybe the banks will cooperate a bit more at mediation, knowing that if they want to get a final judgment against an owner, they may actually have to, prove their case and fly witnesses to trial and testify and,
be a lawyer.
Be a lawyer.
Yeah, it's gonna be very, very difficult, and that's a good point. And I would have to think that at least in Broward and Palm Beach counties, if I'm representing a bank, I'm going to tell my bank client to be a little kinder to the owner, because summary judgment isn't looking too good, and if we don't settle at mediation,
we are looking at a costly trial, but time will tell. On that note, how about we go to Bob in Lake Worth?
Hi, how you doing?
How are you, Bob?
Got a quick question about taking about a zero lot line.
Yes.
We have neighbors that we don't get along to get along with.
Right.
My next door neighbors, and
yes.
To get to my backyard, I have to cross into into their front yard.
Okay.
And we have what's called an access utility easement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some people telling me that I'm entitled to use that, and some people telling me I'm not entitled to use it.
There is no way for me to give you an intelligent answer without actually seeing what your governing documents say and reading the easement for myself. Can you access your backyard through going from the inside of the house to the back of your home? You know, going out the sliding glass doors in the back, if there are any.
Yes, I can.
Okay, so I don't know for sure if you are entitled to access your backyard through crossing over your neighbor's property. I don't know. Would certainly have to look at those governing documents before I give you an answer. But give us a call in the office again, 954-983-1112, and we can review it together tomorrow.
Great. Thank you
very
much.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. All right. How about we head into our final break of the hour, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585, and we will be back right after this.
Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, Scott Shapiro, answering your phone calls and questions via email and by the telephone. Give us a call at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. You got an email?
Yes, we have an email. How about Orville from Margate? He writes in, can a condo have a policy for accessing and copying records only in its rules and regulations? Shouldn't the condo policy for accessing records also be in the bylaws? And no, actually, you can do it by rule and regulation. And I will read everybody the statute really, really quick. The official records of the association are open to inspection by any association member or the authorized representative of such member at all reasonable times. The right to inspect the records includes the right to make or obtain copies at the reasonable expense of any of the member. And the association may adopt reasonable rules regarding the frequency, time, location, notice, and manner of records inspection and copying. And how does the association adopt reasonable rules? By a vote of its board. We get questions all the time about what type of rules can the board adopt regarding frequency, time, location, and records inspection. If you look at the decisions of the arbitrators in Tallahassee, it's basically going to depend on the size of your association and what resources you have available to answer the records requests from owners. For example, you might be able to have some leniency if you're a self-managed community and you don't have people working for the association that can respond to unit owners' requests for records, whereas if you're a much larger association and you have full-time staff devoted to an office that can actually answer unit owners' requests for records a lot quicker, then the division's going to say, you know what, we're not going to give you as much leniency as, let's say, a self-managed community. And on that note, how about we take Robert from Jensen Beach?
Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Yes, hello.
How are you, Robert?
Good. I've got a question for you. Our association is in the midst of purchasing a clubhouse that's been on lease and expires in 9 years. Our board seems to think, and it's pursuing, that they say they only need 51% of the vote with a new law, not referring to our bylaws.
So they're not referring to what the law is.
Are you familiar with this new law that only takes 50 plus one vote
to purchase? I'd have to look that up in 720. But you know, again, that's something we can do off the show and give you a much more intelligent answer. But no, I don't know about the law if they can do it with a simple majority vote, and that's something I may have to see. To actually take a look at your governing documents to find out if that can be done as well. But it's not uncommon for associations to actually vote in favor of buying out what's left of what's a rec lease. That's done a lot.
Well, that's not my question. My question would be, that I don't believe it's 51%, but they say there's a new law that says 51% or 50 plus one votes.
Well, let
and,
them.
And I want to know how I can pursue to find out if that's a reality.
Let's do this, Robert. How about we research this together tomorrow? Give us a call at the office, 954-983-1112. 954-983-1112. I would be glad to sit with you for a few minutes, go over the 720 statute, and see if I can give you a more intelligent answer tomorrow. How about that?
All right, 954 what?
983-1112.
983-1112.
There you go. Okay.
And who am I talking with?
This is Eric.
Eric Glazer.
Eric, thank you.
Okay, all right, Robert, thank you.
Glazer okay. and Associates.
Hey, could be. Don't know. We'll find out tomorrow.
Don't ask for Scott. I'll be at court.
Right. You know, it's impossible to know everything. Sometimes you just got to look it up.
Hey,
you know?
And you're honest. I love that.
Exactly. All right. How about some good news from the banks for a change? Bank of America is actually trying to do something that it seems to help Florida homeowners, and that's offering up to $20,000 to a homeowner if they agree to actually short sell their home.
That's not bad. I saw it also, and it seems that the bank would rather have a short sale go through than to have the home linger in foreclosure and ultimately wind up being owned by the bank. And, you know, the banks, quite frankly, just don't want to own property. The rules are that the short sale must be submitted to Bank of America before November 30th. The homes must have no offer on them already, and the closing must occur before August 31st. 2012. So November 30th, Eric, that's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up, absolutely.
And that same article says that an average foreclosure case in Florida takes 676 days.
Can you believe that?
While in other parts of the country, the normal foreclosure timeline is only 318 days.
Yeah.
Or less than half the time.
Yeah, I believe that, and I know it took a heck of a lot less time, back in 2005.
Yeah, well, the bottom line, though, is that Bank of America still has to be willing to accept the terms of that short sale and obviously write off a large portion of the mortgage so that the home can actually be sold to a new buyer. Now, if they don't agree to do that, you know, then they can offer you $1 million to short sell your home.
Right.
It won't make a damn bit of difference. So, you know, call me a skeptic. But until I see Bank of America actually accepting, let's say, 50% of what's owed, you know, on a short sale and then giving a seller back $20,000 to move, you know, I don't believe a word of their offer. But, you know, time will tell. And on that note, we are heading into a holiday season tomorrow, Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to everybody. If anybody has any interesting rules about trick-or-treating in their community, would love to hear that.
Yes.
You know, be careful about banging on your president's door for candy, I guess, at like anything after 9 o'clock.
If the light's not on the porch,
yeah,
you can't go to the door.
Get you evicted. Anyway, everybody.
Remember kids in Hollywood. Let's all toilet paper old man Glazer's house this weekend.
Hey, careful about that. All right. Everybody, again, thanks for joining us here on Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a safe and fun Halloween tomorrow, and join us again next week here on 850 WFTL for Condo Craze and HOAs.
Nice mask, Scott.
Uh-huh.